Welcome to the Talk and Smash podcast. I am Matt Hetherington. I'm here with Lily Zhang, a three-time US Olympian and a bronze medalist of the Youth Olympic Games and the mixed doubles at the World Table Tennis Championships. And we're going to have a little discussion today. I'm going to put her under some pressure about kind of the pros and cons of different points of your career, like playing overseas, living overseas mainly, and then having now come back to the US. So before the pandemic, you'd actually made a commitment to move to Europe. You'd kind of been like traveling around and back and forth, and you spent a lot of time in Europe, but you weren't living there. And so almost like right before the pandemic, you were living in Europe, right? And you had like a training base set up there and you'd settled there. In terms of the training quality and the travel to tournaments, which is a big factor for you, how did you feel about the decision to, because this is a decision like a lot of table tennis players will make, how did you feel about the decision to actually move to Europe and be living there and competing full time?
Yeah, I mean, it was not a light decision. Like taking your whole life and moving somewhere different is, it's pretty big. But I think because I wasn't fully like aware of a lot of the situations in Europe, that's why I was like moving around constantly in the beginning. So I was like in Linz, Austria, in Portugal, different places in Germany.
You were like living out of a suitcase almost a year, weren't you? It was like a year of just like, okay, literally everything you had was one suitcase and you were just bouncing around Europe.
Yeah. And it was fine in the beginning, but like after a while, that type of lifestyle gets really
hectic,
draining. Like I really felt like I needed a place to settle down. Mm-hmm. But I also don't regret that time because it's like I got to see so many different types of trainings and the way they live.
Yeah.
And I ended up settling down in Dusseldorf, Germany. Mm-hmm. Which is the German National Training Center. And it was hard for sure. It's still very different culturally and training wise from the US. But I think overall the experience was really good and fulfilling. I learned a lot from there. I would say especially in the beginning, I was very homesick. But once I was able to have that base, like after a tournament, I could go home, you know, and like go to my own bed and my own room. It got a lot better from there.
And the, if you think about like the level of training and competition, do you think that was kind of like, say like the peak? If you look back on like your table tennis career so far, would you say that was a period of time where your level of training and competition was at its highest?
I'd say one of the highest, you know, I don't ever want to say peak because
you might not be there yet.
Yeah, there's still a lot more to come, you know, so I never say never. But I think I was feeling really good at that time just because I had learned a lot. In the beginning, it was actually really hard because I went from full-time student in college to full-time professional athlete. So while I was in college, I could sort of maintain my level and like still do decently well in international competition. So like in my mind, I was like, oh, well now the moment I start training full time, I should be like jumping.
This should be like a big jump.
Exactly. Yeah. I should be like playing so well and winning everything. But it was actually the opposite where I felt like I was playing really bad. I was losing a lot of matches that I felt like I shouldn't have. And being away from home and everything was really hard on me. So it took like, I would say half a year to really adjust and to like try to adopt a different mindset and perspective and really lean into their training style and lifestyle and everything.
Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of table tennis players, I was like, this is a topic that I always think about a lot, which people don't really touch on that much. There are so many table tennis players who are really excited about the idea of like going overseas to play in Europe or, you know, to play in big professional leagues and to be training full time. A lot of them, before they make that decision, they're very focused on, oh, this is going to be great. Like the training is going to be amazing. It's going to be better than where I am now. I'm going to be able to commit to my goals and stuff like that. For you, like, what are some of the bigger challenges having, like, in hindsight, what are some of the bigger challenges of it that people don't necessarily think about before they actually go there? Mm. And were there things that obviously, you know, it was a big decision for you. Were there things that you hadn't really thought about before you moved there as well? That kind of, once you got there, you were like, oh, didn't really think about that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think they should still be excited. I was really excited and mm-hmm. it was a great time, but I think there are definitely challenges that you should keep in mind before you go. And it's not just like rose-colored
yeah.
experience like it looks on Instagram. You know, I'm sure people looked at my Instagram, me posting all these things. I'm like, she must be having
the time of her life.
Yeah. When it's in reality, it's not necessarily the case. I think the biggest thing to be aware of if you're going alone, like without a coach, is that it gets really lonely because
it's isolating.
It is isolating. You're in a totally different country. Most of the other players there are Europeans. So I feel like they already have that community and culture that they're used to, whereas like you're coming in from the U.S.
You're the outsider.
Yeah. It takes a while for people to warm up to you and vice versa. And I think also having like the mindset, like what I just talked about, like going in and expecting so much from it, like so quickly is really difficult because I feel like a lot of players in the U.S. as well, they go overseas and then they expect along with everyone else, like that they're going to have great results. And it's not
right.
always necessarily that way. It's like a really long process to really like develop your game. So I would say try to keep like a more level mindset going in, like realize that it's going to take time and it's not just going to be like immediate
yeah.
champion.
I guess like also people don't think about how it changes or like the pressure of what happens if you go there and you don't win.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're going out for like the first time to join like a professional league and then you start playing your matches and you're not winning anything,
mm-hmm.
that lumps like a crazy amount of pressure on you. Like being an outsider, being like new to the team, it must be difficult to maintain your enthusiasm if you're not winning.
For sure.
As well.
For sure. I mean, it happened to me when I joined the German league, Bundesliga, like... In the beginning, I think my world ranking was decently high, like top 100 for sure, maybe mm-hmm. 50s. I think the team was expecting me to win most of my matches, and I wasn't.
Mm.
And I remember just like after one match, I just like started bawling in front of everyone. I was like, what is happening to me right now? I didn't realize like all that pressure that I had been putting on myself along with the team and everyone else had like built up to a stage where I couldn't hold it in anymore. And then also it's like you have to be kinder to yourself because you've like most American players have never played a professional league.
Mm.
And these Europeans, they've grown up their entire lives, like starting from...
Since they were kids.
Yeah. Like 10, 11, 12, starting playing like the lower leagues and then moving their way up. So it's extremely different. So I would say definitely be more gentle to yourself.
So a lot of like not just managing your expectations, but being aware of how... the team or like your teammates' expectations can kind of like push on you as well.
For sure. Yeah.
It's like once the pandemic settled down, a lot of people were wondering, oh, is Lily going to get back out there? Is she going to go back to Europe? You actually have decided now for like the last couple of years to be based back in the US. So what are some of the factors that you considered? I mean, that almost must have been a tougher decision to make than deciding to move overseas, because mm-hmm. now you're at this level where you're like competing in like Grand Smash and Champions, like the top events, and you need a high level of competition. So what kind of like thought process did you go through when you decided, okay, I'm going to come back home, like this is where I think I should be?
Yeah, that's, I would say, even a harder decision than making the move overseas, because like at that time I was really only focused on table tennis and like mm-hmm. trying to become the best that I can. But I think after all these experiences that I've had, like living in Europe and then I lived in China, for a good part of the year, trained with the Chinese national team, went through that whole process.
Yeah.
So I think I have a good understanding of what it's like. And I've realized, like, over the past few years that I need to be able to balance not only table tennis, but, like, my life outside and my mental health. And I would say, even though the system in the U.S. is very different, like, they don't have, like, a national training center
yeah.
or, like, a systematic way to train. It's very individual in the U.S., and you have to find your own practice partners or coaches
right.
or make your own schedule
yeah.
where you're going to travel, when, et cetera. But I think just being home with, like, friends and family and having that stability
mm-hmm.
helps me mentally a lot. And I think I'm a type of player who's not, like, necessarily has to train, like, 8 hours a day and play good that way. But, like, I feel like I need to be more mentally sound to be able to, like, perform on the table.
I have, like, a fun little segment just to break things up a little bit.
Okay.
Ironically, I decided to call it Home and Away. So I have a list of a few little things, and all you have to do is tell me whether you prefer home or being abroad.
Okay.
So the first one is food.
Home.
Okay.
Do I explain why? Or?
If you feel the need to, you can. It doesn't have to be. You can just...
I mean, it's California. It's, like, so diverse. There's every type of food.
Everything's already there.
Yeah, so...
I guess if you go away to one specific place, then you lose the variety, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Scenery, like sightseeing scenery.
Abroad.
Okay.
Yeah, they've got some incredible sights. Really gorgeous views. I don't think home necessarily has all the time. Or maybe I'm just used to it and not as grateful.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people are not good tourists in their own backyard.
Yeah.
Social life.
Home.
That was an easy answer.
100%.
This one's funny because you kind of touched on it already. Instagrammable moments.
Scenery. I mean, sorry, away.
Away.
Because of the scenery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Table tennis notoriety.
What does that mean?
Clout, like in the table tennis community.
Clout, yeah. Then away.
Beaches. I have to be careful how I pronounce that one with my accent. Beaches.
I can answer both. That's hard because California has really nice beaches, but so do a lot of other countries. Equal.
Equal?
Equal.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I had to throw in like one tough one.
Yeah.
Nights out.
Ooh, that one's also hard. I'd still say home because I'm with all my best friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That was fun. That was nice to... I'm glad I got a couple in there that were like a little bit tough for you.
Yeah.
All right. Now we have to move back to the tough questions again.
Damn.
So ironically, you just talked about like mental well-being.
Mm-hmm.
This is like something that you've blogged on quite a lot. When it comes to being a performance athlete, obviously there are like a lot of different things you have to consider to bring out your best performance. There's like the physical training aspect, there's the table hours, the competition. Do you think that mental well-being is like the thing that you kind of put forward the most as being the most important? Because obviously, like coming back to the US, you have to sacrifice a little bit of like the high level of training.
Yeah.
And you have to sacrifice some of the exposure to competition, like the leagues.
Yeah.
I guess like in your decision-making process, you kind of decided for yourself, as an athlete, my mental space is like the most important thing for me when it comes to being able to play my best.
Yeah, for sure. It's what I touched upon briefly, that my decision to move back to the States was because I wanted to give more weight to my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in the past I've kind of focused only on trying to improve my game, and I've kind of pushed to the side everything else and compartmentalized like all these feelings and emotions. And so I feel like for me personally, to play well is to feel good.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter if I train 8 hours a day with the best players in the world. If I'm not feeling good, I'm not going to perform.
Right.
And everyone is different, right? There are some players who I think thrive in those environments under that type of pressure.
Yeah.
But I'm someone who I think needs a bit more leeway with my own schedule and freedom. So yeah, I would say definitely mental well-being is at the top of the list for me.
Yeah. And do you think now that you have moved back here and you've spent like a reasonable amount of time like at home, like actual home for you?
Yeah.
Do you feel like it has made a big difference for you in terms of like being able to compete? I feel like from an outside, obviously like everybody's like what they think or like what their processes are in their head are like internalized. But for me, like as an outsider, obviously following your table tennis quite closely, you know, with before with USATT and now with Yola.
Yeah.
I feel like you have a much better grasp on what you need to be able to compete well. And you have a better understanding of like how to get yourself in the right mentality space. And usually when you're reflecting on matches, it's like the first thing that you comment on.
Mm.
It's like, you know, how you feel when you get into the arena.
Mm, yeah.
So, but do you overall feel like now you're, if you compare yourself now to like pre-pandemic when you were living in Europe, do you feel better as a player, like overall in terms of being able to compete?
Yeah, I think it's interesting you commented on that because it is true. I feel like when I, you could be a therapist, psychologist.
Ooh. Okay, I'll send you an invoice after the podcast.
Yeah, this is my therapy.
Yeah.
I do think the first thing I notice is how I feel in the match. Like, obviously, technique, strategy, so important. But, like, I really notice, like, what I'm feeling. If I feel good, even if I lose, I think that's most important to me. And, I mean, what was the actual question?
I was just generally asking like whether you feel like, I guess like in terms of like how you've developed as an athlete, whether you feel like now at this point in time you're in a better place to be able to perform like at a decent level, even in like these top international competitions, compared to the player that you were when you were living in Europe.
Yes Okay, I remember. Yeah, I think because you said, like, I am more aware of what I need, I'm a much more balanced player.
Mm.
So I understand what, like, I want and what I need, and so I can give that to myself.
Mm.
Whereas before, I think, yes, there were some incredible moments and matches, but it was very, like, high and low.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, ups
so
and downs.
Stability is, like...
It's a lot better now, you know, because, like, being able to also just like talk through my feelings and emotions after is really important for me to process. Whereas before, if I like lost, I kind of just like compartmentalize and like, it's nothing, you know? So yeah, I would say much more balanced, much more stable player.
Okay. I'm going to finish off with a question for like people who are watching this. What advice would you have for people, maybe like younger players, like juniors or players that are just coming out of the like the junior age group, that are from places like the US or like Oceania, outside of Europe and away from professional leagues? What advice would you give them when they're considering this idea of taking it to the next level, training full time and moving away from their home?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great option to explore. Staying in the U.S. isn't always like the best thing just because of the level of play and the maybe not as much exposure to leagues and competition, international competitions. So I think honestly, like taking that step and moving abroad is a great step to take. And I think just trying different things is really important. Like what I did, like, even though it was really hard, I'm not discounting that. I just like to, keep reciprocating that. But reiterating that, sorry, wrong word. But I think you should try different things and see what works out for you. Some players might like to play in Europe, more league play, right. more matches.
Yeah.
Some players might like to train in Asia, which is more focused on training and physicality maybe. And some players might like to train in the U.S. where it's a lot more individual and you have more freedom to your own schedule. So just try different things, I would say.
Cool.
Yeah.
Perfect. Great okay. answers. Thanks, Lily. We'll have you back for another podcast shortly-ish. Yeah, really good insights. I think, honestly, you're probably one of the few players that is quite an open book now when it comes to, like, talking about this kind of stuff. And there are a lot of players out there who have a huge amount of knowledge and they have so much experience about playing in leagues and kind of facing different adversities or challenges, but nobody really talks about it that much. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm always looking for podcast topics now that are kind of not spoken about as much.
Yeah, I think it's really important to talk about it.
Mm.
I think growing up, I never really saw or heard like these big athletes, especially in table tennis. I mean, I think other athletes in other sports have been more vocal or open, but table tennis, I haven't really heard so much. I think in the recent years, a lot of players have, more players at least, have come out to talk about the struggles.
Yeah.
So I think it's really beneficial to hear that. Like if I had heard that growing up, I'm like, oh, I'm not alone,
right.
yeah. you know? And vice versa, even me talking about it now, it's really cathartic and great therapy.
And voices in the mail.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks very much, Lily.
Thanks for having me.
No problem at all.